How's everybody doing?
Good.
Yeah, good.
Doing pretty good. Pretty good.
Nobody's fantastic, yeah. Huh?
I'll be fantastic shortly, Mike.
Who's kicking us off?
Go ahead.
Everybody talk at once.
All right. Well, as you know, we've had a flurry of emails with you trying to
Tom, you're batting lead off.
Together.
Huh? Tell everybody what's in your hand.
I got a sweet killer deal that I'm trying to
contract.
Get together here. Contract. I got the contract last night.
Yay, that's it.
I had to walk them through this hello sign like five times.
Tell us all the numbers.
Numbers cost $9,000.
You have it for nine?
I have it for nine, yeah.
Oh, what are you trying to sell it for?
19.6.
Go, boy.
19,600. What's fixed
yeah.
up?
Fix up is probably.
I already
10 to
know.
13,
I'm just asking
000.
For the benefit of the group, right? Call it 13.
10 to 13. Let's call it 13.
32.6. Let's throw in $1,500 in closing costs. So if I buy it from you, I'm at 34. 34.1. We'll call it 34 grand. What is
yeah,
the rent
I put,
for?
I put 2,000 as closing costs in the deal analyzer just to be
okay.
conservative.
So we'll call it 35,000. What does this okay. sucker rent for?
850 a month. Could probably push it to 9, but I'm saying 850.
Times 70%, 595. 35,000 divided by 595.
The deal analyzer, when I did the 5% for...
4.9 year return of cash. Mm.
Yeah.
That's tasty.
Smoking deal.
And then 595 times 12, 7144. I must have hit a wrong button. 7140. And then divided by 35,000 equals 20.4%.
Oh, that sounds like a Birmingham deal to me.
First year return.
Man.
That doesn't stink.
Get this, Mike. I'm trying to find a title company. So I call this
yeah.
guy.
Yep.
And he's not a title company. He's a guy who does research for title companies, although it came up as a title company.
Okay.
Start talking. And he's a nice guy. He gives me the referral to a title company that may be able to help. He's not really sure about doing a B2C close and all that stuff. These skis in Colorado, blah, 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 blah. I say, hey, dude. And he says, well, you know, if I'm giving you all this information about hot areas that I see come through me, why don't you give me something? I said, I'll give you this awesome house, man. This is a really good deal. And he's interested in getting more info. He might want to buy it.
I love it. That's great.
So we'll see.
That's a sweet little deal. 4.9
yeah.
return
so
of cash. That's aggressive. That's solid.
Yeah. Well, this is good because it's the first one and it'll get people's eyes, you know.
You going to assign it or double close it?
I'm going to try to double. Well, I'm going to assign it, but then I want to do a simultaneous closing because I don't want them to see that I'm making 10,000 on it.
You have to double close it then. That's why I'm
asking. No, you can do a simultaneous closing.
Right.
That's
same thing.
That's what he's talking about.
You have to buy it and then sell it.
That's not what I'm talking about.
If there's only one transaction, then what you make is visible because you're a part of it.
Yeah, we can talk about this later. There's another way to do it where the seller funds both deals first. But you need to find the right title company that'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, I've done 70.
You know what I'm talking about. So there's no flash cash needed or anything.
Right. But there are two transactions that are going to happen.
Two transactions, but...
Yep. This is what we used to do back in 2008, 9, and 10. We would sell the deal at 10 a.m. and then go buy it at 2 p.m. Sell it first. Yep. So it's a double close. No assignment.
But you need a title company who knows what they're doing and doesn't think that's illegal because some of them will think it's illegal. That's how I'm going to try to do it because I don't want them to know I'm making 10 grand on it.
Okay.
Yep. So, you saw all my stuff. So did a lot today.
How many buyers have you talked to?
I have talked to no buyers.
Por qué?
Because I didn't put that thing out yet. I'm still working on that email thing.
Hang up and send the email if that's what you're doing next. And then give that call to action on the bottom like we were talking about and tell people, I anticipate this one moving very quick. Give me a call.
Yeah, that's what I said. I didn't say that. I anticipate it moving quickly. I just said, give me a call.
Yep.
You know.
And don't ever put a if interested in there. This is just for everybody, even though I'm talking to Tom.
Yeah.
Assume they're interested. So just give the call to action. Be confident about it. Be firm.
Right.
Tell people what to do.
I got a story about something like that, too.
One of the things that has made me hesitate to actually blast this out, besides the fact that I was still tweaking that email, I wanted to look good, and I've gotten some great advice from
Send
both
it.
You and Rob on that.
Yep.
Is let's say I got somebody who says, I know that house, or I went by that house. I haven't even looked inside the house. I want the house. I have no place for them to. I got no escrow place. I got no title company for them to even send a.
They'll have one.
A,
say, hey man, I'll be honest with you. I've been buying. You know, I'm an out of state guy. I'm newer in town. Who's your favorite title company? I don't have one picked out yet, so.
Yeah, but if they
don't do
a simultaneous closing, then I'll have to
cash it or fund it real quick.
If it's nuts, we're candy, and if it's and butts, we're candy and nuts.
So Tom, you could still don't let that what if hold you back. There's a chance it happens, but so what? You'll figure it out.
Okay.
And we'll help you figure it out. So send it, and I want you to get off the phone and send it now. Because you have it. You have paperwork in hand. You got to go hustle this thing.
You're right.
Because then I'm going to get a testimonial from you that says, I got a deal under contract and I had a buyer within 24 hours. And the only way that happens is if you get off this call. So it sounds like I'm trying to help you, but I've got
personal
motives here at play.
Oh, I get it. Well, we got another 6 hours.
I know, but I'm nervous because your brain's already playing what if. Your brain's already playing what if procrastinating on me.
No, I'm not trying to procrastinate. I made three.
Put
two
us
dozen,
on, okay.
Two
put us on speaker.
Title company.
Put us on speaker. *6 out and blast that email. And then it's only is Pittsburgh East Coast time.
Yeah.
All right. You've got to make 5 to 10 calls tonight to buyer numbers that you have. Hey, and it's perfect time of day to get people. Get them in there tomorrow. Somebody might even just grab it. How are you getting buyers in when they want to see it?
I don't know yet. The owner or the guy who sold it to me, the guy in Pittsburgh, hasn't gotten back to me, so I have no way of getting into it. That's the other thing.
Okay, so call anyway. Drum up interest.
I've been trying to get the guy, yeah.
And tell somebody to drive by it and say, I'm working on getting a lockbox out there. I'll be able to get you in tomorrow.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Throw us on speaker. Send that email.
Yeah, because first thing I did was call the owner and say, you know, I need to get a key, and he hasn't called me back yet.
Well, you can get a hold of him and say, hey, I've got 4 buyers interested. I need to get into this place now. How are we going
to
do it?
My bird dog's ready to go. He's like, just give me the address. I'll run down there and put the lockbox on, put the key in.
Yep. All right. We're going on a speaker, and you're sending out an email and then making calls tonight because this sucker is going to fly off the shelf. So
I think so.
That's what I anticipate.
Great.
All right. Who else? Go send that email.
Hey. All right. Hey, it's Hal.
Send it. Hal, what's happening?
Well, I wanted to say something to this guy for a minute if I could. You know, I'm an old man. I wholesaled houses, wholesaled for 11 years straight, got out of it a long time. I'm back new in it again. But his comment about worrying about what the guy was making, I'll tell you what happened to me one time is I had a guy that I'd sold some houses to. He said, just out of curiosity, what are you making on this deal? I said, 10 grand. He said, oh, God, that's too much. I said, no problem. I sold to the next guy the next day after that and made $30,000. And if the numbers are right, it don't matter. It don't matter if they know.
Yeah,
because
that's the
a
thing,
hot house.
Could – those are great numbers. Somebody that's a buyer should have zero issue with you making money on it because they know that you have to make money. And they say, hey, you're making a great check, but you're also giving me a good deal. I want to buy from you again. So I'm not gonna argue if you want to double close it. I think it's fine. It's one way to do it. But I think you can pull off an assignment here without issue.
Yeah. Hey,
and
just
in the event,
go ahead.
In the event that a seller says, "Oh, you're making way too much," you need to. I don't know that you need to rehearse this, but you can have some posture on there, and you say, "Hey, I appreciate that. You know, you can tell me whatever you want." At the end of the day, I turn over great deals. I'm upfront about it. I got nothing to hide. You know, if you have a problem with me getting paid for tying up a really good deal, then you know, let's just part ways as friends, and we don't have to do business. But any legitimate buyer is not going to have an issue with you making money on it. Not when you now, if you're trying to make $30,000 and you're turning over a 7 cap. And trying to argue why you're making money
that's
on it,
different.
You have a problem. Totally different. But you're turning over. I mean, it seems realistic, right, that you can make 10. There's a decent chance you can make 15. I like where you're priced. Turn 10. Put a great deal on the market. Start. You know, even if somebody looks at it and doesn't buy it, they're still thinking, hey, that was a smoking deal. They'll pay attention when your next one comes out.
That's right.
So. So, yeah, good stuff, Al.
Hey, one thing I wanted to mention on my deal. I got 800. I got 900 leads now since the other day.
Nice.
And I did a video training on two people last night. I'm on my way home now as soon as I get off the call. I got two more people to do research. I'm going to do training tonight. And what I did with those leads on that one zip code, there were 1,000 vacant houses in that zip code. I eliminated about 300 or 400. This is what I found, and I'm asking you guys because it's that post office list. And the first 300 or 400, I got rid of them because they had just sold in the last couple months. And if they just sold, you know somebody bought them to rehab, so you're wasting your time.
I'm back.
Yep.
That's the way I see it anyway.
Those get pulled off the list. I agree.
Yeah, okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Yep.
That's all I got.
Yep.
All right.
So you're training bird dogs tonight?
I'm training
researchers.
People.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
900 are all those 900 vacants from a bird dog?
No, those are all from the post office list.
Gotcha. And then
that's one zip code.
You have a bird dog running there too, right?
Yeah, I do. And she's already given me 300 leads.
I love
so
it.
So I got a bird.
Yeah,
wow.
Here's the thing, everybody. That vacant house thing, use it in addition to, right? Where it's going to come up and we're going to be talking about it because it's new, but you will still get a notch or two better leads from your bird dog. Hal's doing both. I'm all for it. If you're just going to focus on one, get your bird dogs out there. Nothing
well,
trumps eyes on the property.
Mike, I agree with you, but could I
Amen.
Say something just from my experience so far, and I could be totally wrong, but the thing about the leads from the post office is you can have a phone number in 5 minutes because I use U.S. search, and that's the first thing I do. And I back check because it tells you where the guy lives that owns it. And so you back check it by going to U.S. search and you see, okay, that's the right address. It shows the right address. And most of them have a phone number, and you go down their previous addresses to make sure that house does show up. The one that's vacant because he owns it. He bought, and a lot of them, he's got the last sale date on them. And some of these are like, they bought them for $8,000. They bought them for $5,000. They bought them 10 years ago. They bought them whatever. So they may be real tired of the thing. Who knows? There's a lot of investor stuff on there that I'm just going to set aside where, you know, there's a whole bunch of guys that own 200-300 properties down here. But I want to go back after them if it's the right thing to do, but in a different way. I think I want to concentrate on the people that bought the thing 4, 5, or 10 years ago, and it's vacant. There's a reason it's vacant. Is it between renters, or is it because they're tired of it? You know? So that's what I'm trying to do, is take the first ones, like you said, you know, take the easiest ones first. That's what I'm going to try. I could be wrong, but I'm going to try. We still on?
Hello?
You entered 885.
Hey, you guys still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Well, what just happened? My phone
went
dead.
Can you
hear me? Yeah, I can hear you now.
Phone went dead and came back, I think.
Yeah, I just lost everybody.
Here.
Now we're back.
Yeah, Hal, you're spot on. And the ones I checked in my local market here, I ran across even some I sold to my buyers. So, yeah, filter those out, man. And that's
and
the way to go.
You know, what's funny is, I live in Denver too, right? I was home last week and met with you.
Yep.
And I just rent a zip code next to me, 80222, just for the curiosity. There were two houses, two vacants, compared to 1,000 in one zip code down here.
Yeah, well, crazy. Welcome to Denver. And the two vacants, you can have them for $500,000 each.
Yeah, that's right.
Average home price, I just looked it up the other day in Denver in April this year, it was 487, like 47,
oh
8, something like that. It's ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
No,
oh, my God.
Little people are selling little. That's the thing. They're not just asking; they're selling little turds for like $299.99, 3 1/4. Oh, it's stupid. Anyway, here's what it is. Yeah. So, so here's the other thing I was gonna say, is some of those post office vacants you're gonna call and people are gonna live there, and right, they don't have a perfect sorting system. It's still good.
Sure.
But
sure.
We still want to make sure it's in addition to bird dogs, and Hal has bird dogs running, so he's working both. So that's where that's at. But
and the program that HomeSnap, I'm getting a little more used to it now. It's still not, by far, it's not perfect. But the great thing about having the picture that they take is you compare it to what HomeSnap shows, you know it's on the right out.
Right.
Because HomeSnap, a lot of times the houses are wrong, you know, from Google. They're around a corner. They're on a different street.
Yeah, cross street.
And you got to kind of – and some of the Google stuff, you can't move around on it. You know, it's locked into one picture.
Right.
And I think it must be when it took it a couple of years ago or something. I don't know. You other guys probably know a lot more than I do because I'm just getting started at this again. But
I think HomeSnap stinks myself.
At the end of the day, none of the maps out there are perfect. It just is what it is.
Well, you know what? You don't want to get caught up in that. And that's what as an old man, I got caught up in it at first, but, you know, this software could be a lot better. You don't want to think about that. It's just like you don't want to change nothing that Mike and us is teaching us. You want to do it the way these guys do it because they've done it and it works.
Yeah.
So you don't want to go fiddling with the program or with all that other crap because you'll get bogged down in it. I've done it before in the past.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get over that.
It's easy for it to happen, too.
It is.
Yeah, well, you find what works and works is what my method right now. But you know,
yeah.
I got a productive guy,
the
man,
day.
And he was struggling with it, and we figured something out, and it's cool, man. And the pictures are better too. So I mean, you know.
Yeah, John's got a little. He and his guy kind of have. You know, they kind of worked out their own deal, and that's fine.
Yeah, and it's the photos are better, and in New Orleans, for example, you know, there's photos no more than 3 years old on the county site. So, you know, we plug those in too, just to compare them to verify it. And
yeah,
my VA's doing that, so we got it going on, man.
That's good stuff. Hey, Hal, as those leads come in, you said you had about 300 bird dog, about 900 from the list. When you start hitting the phone, either you do or somebody else, get research done first on the three from your bird dog, and then call those first. They're going to be even a notch or two better, so start there. So we come out of the gate with some momentum, all right?
Yeah, and in fact, I got to look at the rest of your system and see how – I got some work to do on that. I mean, I'm great at calling. I mean, that's the one thing I should be I've been a salesman all my life.
And that's great. You're a busy guy, though, too.
I want to get somebody else to do it as quick as I can.
Find somebody else right out of the gate, and then you can just be a good trainer for them, and then let them go, turn the rein on, and you keep running your, you've got a bunch of deals under construction and still overseeing this thing, right? Somebody has to keep, make sure all these items stay in the air. So
I know, I'm trying to do this too. I have a partner, but I'm trying to do all this with my own money and time
Here's the thing. Here's your next step. You're going to find a researcher quick. They'll be able to turn over, just in an 8-hour shift, they're going to turn over, a decent chunk of leads for your salesperson. So get an ad on, you can go to Craigslist, Indeed.com is pretty solid. Do both and either or, don't really care. You can find talent on each, but start talking to salespeople, because you're going to have an initial conversation. Then you want to send them to a disc test, make sure they're high D or high I. That's going to be a process. And then you're probably going to go, if you want to follow Rob's method, which he's, he's hired a lot of people over the years, but initial interview, the ones that sound good, go to a disc test. If they're high D, high I, he typically goes to another phone interview, chats with them a little bit more, and then if that goes well, he schedules dinner and gets them outside of an interview or working environment, and then goes and gets a feel, sitting on the other side of the table from them. So that's going to take a little bit. So get that ad posted now, because you're going to have to sort through some people. And while you're, while you're bringing them on board, you can find a couple researchers, get them trained, and, there will be phone numbers and leads in the system ready to go.
Actually, I've got 5 researchers that want to do this.
Cool.
One's my sister in Kansas City. So
yep.
I'm training all of them.
Yeah, because 1 or 2 are going to rise to the top, and then
can
move forward.
The rest
with them.
Are going
to,
yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, get that add-on by tomorrow, then get some people responding over the weekend.
Okay.
And post it. You spend most of your time in Atlanta, so post it in Atlanta. Find somebody there, because then you can meet up with them, do some one-on-one training. Obviously, they can call anywhere USA, or regardless of where you're working. But that way, if you need to go meet them in a coffee shop or do some calls with them, something like that, you're in town and you can handle it. So, post in your Atlanta market there.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Hey, Mike,
anything else, Al? Yeah.
This is Alex.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, I was on FreedomSoft. I noticed that there's some new functions on it.
There are.
And there was one where you press that button for the owner on a bird dog lead that I got. And all of a sudden I got like 4 or 5 addresses on that one address for the owner.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming there are multiple owners on it.
Well, multiple owners, or there could be multiple records. So that's one of the things that you'll have to sort through when you do that. It's not always just going to pull one. I mean, there are so many millions and millions of people in the country, so it's going to go to public records. But, that's where you have to be a little bit smart about it, sort through the data that you see, and start to put the pieces together a little bit before the skip trace. So
I was going to hire a VA to do the skip tracing.
Absolutely.
I would jump on the county site and verify real quick on those.
That's going to be common to verify on the county website. Yep.
Yeah, that's what I was going to try to do, but I'm trying to find the time
to do it. Put that as part of the training process for the scrubber.
What's that?
Put that as part of the training process for the scrubber, as I call them, researcher. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Just trying to find the time or getting a VA to do it.
Yeah, Alex, don't find the time to do it. Find the time to find a VA to do it. That's
okay,
not a task that you don't want to be doing research data considered highest and best use, right?
Yeah, I got a few VAs in mind. I got a bird dog out there, and he's really on fire. He wants to do this stuff. So,
do you have him bringing leads in?
VA. Pardon me?
How many leads has the bird dog brought in?
40.
Cool.
Over a weekend.
Nice. So the goal is 250. Right?
Yeah, I know.
So keep your foot on the gas. It sounds like you have somebody that's hungry, and that's perfect. So yeah, get that VA lined up, and then are you going to be on the phone, or are you going to be having a salesperson call?
Well, I was going to try a few, but I was going to try to get a salesperson to do it because it's a lot easier for a person who does it all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here's the thing. If you haven't made calls before, I like for you all to get on the phone a little bit, right? So you can have some conversations. Mm-hmm. It's not rocket science, right? You just need to know a little bit about it, but don't waste a bunch of time. Get a phone salesperson. Give them good leads. Give them a simple script and have them set you at first where you can do, you know, they're just basically sniffing out motivation and setting a time for you to follow up and jump on with the sellers and make the offer. But, you know, assuming your salesperson is sharp, you want to get that into their hands as soon as possible and just do some training on how you run the numbers.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to filter through. I got about three or four of them in mind, but I just got to get them. I just got to talk to them and get it done. Okay.
Absolutely. Yep. Make it happen. Good stuff.
So the skip tracing, too, I could get another VA to do that, too?
Yeah. I mean, whatever it takes, right? You know, that's the thing is your company needs skip trace leads. So at the end of the day, if that's one VA can handle the tasks in front of them, great. If you need two, great. You know, that's where you just, as the owner, you got to say, okay, here's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
You know, not every VA is really available. I just hired one for some transcription stuff we're doing around here. And he's taking too long. So we just find somebody else that can turn it around quicker. Right. So it's always based on what does the company need?
Okay.
So you got it.
That's good because now I know I could focus on that this weekend or this week and give you even more on my weekly report. So.
Yep. That sounds good.
For. Okay.
That sounds good.
Very good.
Yeah. Good stuff,
Mike.
Alex. Yeah, you're welcome. Who else, John? You want to tell us about NOLA?
Yeah, man. Let's go ahead. I guess I'll start off with, potential lead deals that are pretty hot. I think I mentioned the other day about a guy that bought a tax certificate on a property.
Yep.
I don't remember. Yeah.
I think so.
Okay, a quick rundown on that. The guy bought the tax thing, and I kept asking him questions, and I guess, you know, I was asking too many, and he just said, do a little homework, man, and hit me back. So. He's wanting to get rid of it, dump it. He's had it, paying taxes on it, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
So my local partner, as I call him down there, we jumped on the phone with the title company attorney to get the process of purchasing the certificate. And, you know, even if everything's good, you still have to file a judgment, and it takes at least 2 months, and it's $2,500 or $3,500. Well, we call that in Alabama quieting the title, I guess, so you can take the deed, the take title. And so he suggested contacting the original owner and making an offer for a quick claim deed and then making a deal with the tax certificate holder.
Right.
And, you know, it'll pop up in title search, boom, boom, boom. So I'm in the process of getting all those documents where that guy bought the tax certificate. And then I'm going to chase this lady down that actually owns it. But the kicker is she paid the tax bill last year. So I don't know how motivated she's going to be. You know, it's probably going to have to be more than a $200 or $300 or $400 offer to her.
Right.
She paid an $1,800 tax bill. So
that's
where that one
rental?
Sits. Man, it's a suite. It's worth about $120, $130, and it's really big, and the outside looks really good, but it's boarded up. And,
is it a duplex or a single family?
No, this is a single. I'm getting to the multis in a minute. I got multiple stories, sir.
Talk fast. I like it.
Yeah, well, we don't. I'm from Alabama. So, anyway.
Good point.
So, we could probably get this. From the tax certificate holder, we can probably get him from anywhere, my guess is from 4 to 6.
Okay.
The house is worth in a $120,000 to $30,000 neighborhood. And so we got room to spend on the owner. So
Sounds like Is it a maybe rental five or and six. Rental or flip?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool.
Okay. And the same guy has multiple properties. And the second one is a house that he got from his dad. He added onto the back of it huge. It's like 3,200 square feet now.
Yeah.
And in the front, it's got a 3-1. On the side, it's got a 1-1. In the back, it's a 4-2.
Holy smokes.
And that baby is pulling 28, 25 a month in rent.
And he wants to get out of it?
He's got a new house in Slidell. He wants to pay off his mortgage. So he wants out of the whole business. He's tired, brother. That's what he keeps saying. I'm tired, brother. He said, I got some more. He's got an 8-unit building. It's got some coin laundry in it or something. And
he's trying to liquidate.
Yeah, he's getting out.
Help him liquidate.
We are. My buddy Josh had an appointment with him at 9 this morning to see the triple, as they call them, or whatever. But he had to cancel because his family's in-laws were flying out and their flight got delayed. And so we're trying to hook up tomorrow or Saturday with him. So
that's sweet.
Make the introduction and find out what else he's got because that guy told me he was tired one time, he said at 20. So.
That's perfect.
So
motivated.
Here's a quick calculator numbers if you're running at 28, 25 rent. And he's done a lot of work to it. He says the only thing that needs to be done to it is paint the hardy board on the outside that he installed. And it looks good just from what I can see.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing a 10 grand fix up and a wholesale fee of 10. And he's asking 170 to 175, but to get a 14 cap, I would have to offer like 138, give a buyer a 14 cap. So,
cool. That sounds like a solid little rental.
Yeah, but the whole thing is, Josh says he's really not sure how his buyers buy on cap. He said they're different buyers, kind of like every market. So, I think we just need to get the best deal we can. Okay, on top of that, my VA was making calls today, and she got a buyer lead in New Orleans that's looking for multi-unit properties. Voila.
So, imagine that.
And I have called him, and he was tied up in a meeting, and he's supposed to call me back, so I'm going to get his criteria. He wanted to know, where's the property at, man? I said, well, I can't tell you. I said, it's in the Upper Ninth Ward, but, I said, I got some things cooking, man, and I need somebody to pass it off to. So,
that's right. I love it.
So those are two great, great things that are happening. I'm very positive about that.
Is your gal gonna find more time to get on the phone, or are you bringing in somebody else?
And that's what I'm getting at next. Here's what's happened. She's bringing on a scrubber to work 4 hours a day, and they're gonna set her up to where all she can do is right now, for the time being, she'll be ready to make calls. So
beautiful.
And that scrubber is actually starting Saturday. And so we can catch up. And in the meantime, I need to do my thing and get organized and hire the acquisitions person. But that's the basic immediate plan.
Cool.
I guess that's my report, man. I got about 200 leads. And the Bird Dog's on hold right now, unfortunately. But we're going to fix that because we're fixing the land of contract.
That's right.
As we say in Alabama, fitting too, man.
We're fitting too. That's right.
Yeah.
Love it.
All right.
Good stuff. Who else?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I got a question quick, Mike.
Yeah.
House.
Yeah.
When I get, what do you, because I listen to all the calls, sometimes I just listen. But now that I'm getting some leads in to go, what should I be shooting for per week on calls? Of actually talking to people. I know you want to talk to as many as you can, but I got all these houses, and I got a couple hours a day. I probably got an hour a night I could call.
That's the thing. You've got to have a salesperson that can do at least 4 hours a day. It's going to take four for somebody to chug through some numbers, get some people on the phone. Some people are going to be busy. Can you call me tomorrow? Right? It's just that rolling sales follow-up sequence.
Yeah.
You've got to have 4 hours committed. Six a day is better. And then, you know, that's what you have to – that's you know, growing is one of the biggest challenges small businesses face. When to do things, when, right? You were just saying, John, you know, he's got a bird dog that's itching, right, because he got paid. And he's like, hey, man, tell me when I can go. When can I go? When can I go? And that's, you know, obviously John wants to cut him loose, but, you know, he's also running all the dollars and cents for the business and saying, you know, man, sit tight. Just give me a little bit. I know you're, you know, I want to keep you around. I want to get you paid more. But, you know, that's the thing is you've got to, you know, nobody's unlimited on the resources, financial, time, talent, all that stuff. So, yeah, so when you're driving it, you know, you've got to say, what's realistic? What can we, what kind of bankroll can fund this thing? But, you know, if you've got, I mean, you put somebody on the phone 4 hours a day consistently, you'll be in the middle of contracts, most likely inside of a week, a lot of times inside of a couple days.
Right.
You'll be in multiple within 2 weeks if you get somebody consistent on the phone with these leads. It happens every time.
I got it. Now, something I've never even asked you because I haven't gotten this far with that firing my general contractor, but the you know, back in the day when I was doing it, before I had all my own contracts, I don't have any of that anymore. Of course, it's been 10 years anyway. So we have assignable contracts, right, on the website?
In the coaching
center,
yep.
In the coaching center, yeah. I thought we did, but I hadn't really gotten on there lately, so... Okay.
Yes. Step four, I believe. There's the assignable one that Rob uses, and then there's one with a kickout clause, which is basically you come across somebody and they say, yeah, I'm not sure. I want to just give you exclusive right to sell this. And you're like, great. You keep marketing it your way. Let's get this contract in place. I'll market it mine. And basically whoever finds the buyer first can bring the buyer to the table. So you'll primarily be using the top one without the kickout.
Well, the other thing I thought I might use, too, is because I've got my brother-in-law as the money guy, is that they're real, real good deals. We'll just buy them. You know, we've already sold two houses this year that I bought in January that if I tried to wholesale them in January, I wouldn't have made anything. I'm closing on one next week while I'll make $15,000 on it just because we held on to it and put a roof on it.
Yep.
So... I could do that too, I guess.
That's one of the sweet things about having access to private money like that is you can do, I mean, you guys want to hold a rental? Great. You want to just buy it because it's vacant and then relist it and sell it when it sells? You can do that. You want to fix it up a little bit and, you know, put a renter in there and sell it turnkey? You can do that.
Yeah.
Do whatever the heck you want. So,
okay.
Yeah, access to cash, is that's why it's so key because it gives you options.
Yeah.
Yep. You got it. That's a sweet little relationship you have there.
Yeah. Give me one. Hey, Mikey.
Yeah.
I'll answer your question from the other day. There are 5,938 vacants in Birmingham.
That all.
The $1.1 million $1.1 million MSA population.
Yep.
Wow.
That's the thing is you're gonna get NOLA rolling, but don't ignore Birmingham.
No, that's why I'm concentrating getting back on it right now. I made
cash
call
cow
today.
Right there.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
So your gal has just she has got to be full time on the phone, and I know you know.
Yeah, that's after this weekend we'll be set.
Yep.
And she's a bulldog man, you know. And right now, I mean, that I know I'm doing Band-Aids, but that's a pretty good Band-Aid. I can get 4 hours calling out of her.
Yep.
We'll be good to go.
Yep. So. Yeah, that's the thing, right? You all are running your
baby
own ships,
steps.
And so you've got to make you've got to make some of those decisions. Obviously, from our standpoint on the coaching side, we want you to go slightly faster than you're comfortable with and push because
Right.
Once you're in the middle of some contracts and you get a couple closings, it just things change so fast from what they maybe look like currently to where they can look here. In 2 to 4 weeks.
Right.
So, yep. Good stuff. Who else? Questions and updates.
Hey, Mike, I had a question on the Find the Owner button. How come,
yeah,
how come we can't just do it across all of them instead of having to go into every single one and clicking Find
yeah,
the Owner?
It's a great question, because every time you push the button, we pay for it. So instead of going across the board in FreedomSoft, where, you know, we have longtime users that have 50, 60, 70,000 leads, we're going to make you push a button to get them. Yeah, great question.
Man, it takes forever.
Yep, that's why.
And then also, is HomeSnap, does that usually, like, populate the address correctly, or does it always just put it in the notes?
Always is going to go in the notes. Yeah, you would have to have a custom parse feature that just doesn't exist. FreedomSoft and HomeSnap would have to talk, but that's most likely never going to happen.
Okay,
so, yeah,
that's
it's going to go to notes. So, yeah, when you have your VA jump in there to do the research, part of what they do needs to be grab the address from here, paste it up here, right, save it, click Find the Owner, grab that stuff, you know, like we've been talking here, if you have to verify it in county records, do that quick, and then do the skip trace and save the numbers. But have your VA do that. Grab the address from the notes.
Well,
put it at the top
of
the page.
I just kind of did it in Excel. It didn't take that long. I mean, I did 312 of them in, I don't know, an hour. I just exported it, just moved all the address and everything in the correct thing, then re-imported it back in so the address is in the right thing. But
there's
no way
that
to automate the Find the Owner.
Nope.
And you have to click three times, right? Because you have to click Find the Owner, then say it's going to overwrite, and then say, are you sure you want to do this? So every time you have to do it three times, and then once it saves the record, then I got to go back into the list, go back to the page I was, and then go to the next one.
Yep. Yeah, you've got
okay.
your –
well, that answers
every,
that.
Every time I talk to you, you have an Excel trick. Love it.
I know
you wrote
Excel,
right? Am I following along the story correct?
Pretty close. No. I'll probably ultimately use something else to fully automate it, but for now that was just the quick and dirty way to do it. But an hour is too long. I need to get it, you know, it needs to be seconds.
Yeah. Rob just has a researcher do it. Just grab this from here, put it up here, let them do it. Pay $4 or $5 an hour, put that on their plate.
Yeah, true.
And just let them go. That's the best way. You don't want to spend time messing around with Excel.
Yeah, it's pretty good at finding the owner. And I did notice, like, on a couple of them that we had already found, we'd already gone to the where it couldn't find an owner. It's like it didn't exist. The address just doesn't exist. I couldn't find it in the county website either. So as far as the county is concerned, the address doesn't exist either.
Yeah, I've heard that from a few different people. This isn't a perfect science. Here's what's cool about it, dude, right? There's a little bit of legwork on these vacants. But that's exactly why there's so much opportunity there, because nobody else does it. I mean, that's why we go there, right? That's the thing about the post office stuff. I want you all to, you know, use it in conjunction with bird dogs first. Why? Because if we can pay for the data and get it, so can anybody else. It's coming out of the post office data feed, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so there are other places to get it if you're willing to pay for it. It's really cool that FreedomSoft has it. I love it. It's a great add-on, right? It's a great addition. But when you have somebody go drive and put eyes on it, because some of the ones you call from the post office, they're going to be occupied. The post office, whatever their algorithm or whatever, says, hey, this is a vacant house, and you're going to dial up. Somebody's going to say, hello? Hey, I'm calling about your vacant house. And they're like, what are you talking about? I live here. So some of that's going to seep through the cracks, right? When you have a bird dog driving around and taking a picture of a boarded up house at 123 Main Street, there's nobody living there. Squatters, but there's nobody living there, right? So it's just more accurate. So
yeah, Mike, the postman got bit by the dog and he didn't fill out his report that day. So he said,
yeah,
the heck with that.
Yeah, that stuff happens. So they're still good leads, but that's why we're saying the focus isn't on that. You know, that feature now that's a part of FreedomSoft, stay with the bird dogs. Because, I mean, invest, right, this is just, I mean, the majority of folks, they, you know, they're not going to go through, you know, one hurdle, let alone a couple. They're pretty easy to solve, right? VA on Upwork, bird dog off Craigslist. They're just not even going to do it. And so those leads are going to trump, and there's going to be very little competition for them.
what about the, a lot of the leads I noticed they're already, the owner already shows up as an LLC. Do you call them anyway?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if it looks like a vacant lead, our team is calling it. You know, some of the counties too, I just got a note from Mark. He told me he wasn't going to be on today because he's driving up to Wyoming to watch the Eclipse on Monday, I guess. But Cuyahoga County and what is that, Cleveland, I believe? They've got some crazy stuff in the county records. We had some other students work in that county, and they're pulling up a mailing address, and it's like, you know, big buildings downtown, XYZ mortgage company. You're like, what the heck's going on? So in some cases in Cuyahoga County, for mailing address, they're recording the lien holder's address, the mortgage company, and I haven't seen that anywhere else. And so it's just, you know, counties work different. In Pittsburgh, we know that the county's super slow. So you go back, right, Darren and Tom are working there. You go back 12 months in ListSource, and there are like 6 records, absentee owners. And then you think, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. So you go back 24, and there are a couple thousand. So that county is just, for whatever reason, is just way behind either in the recording process or reporting the data after the recording takes place where the data companies can access it. So, yeah, you know, that stuff happens.
Maybe they have to wait for so long after recording to make it public or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And, you know, there isn't like a set, you know, hey, all U.S. counties, here's how you have to handle this. That's not in place. They, you know, the states kind of run themselves. So, again, this is all, it seems like, oh, that's a pain in the neck and that's a hurdle. That you want it to be a little bit harder than just go grab a lead, because if it's that, everybody else can go get it. But when there are a couple hoops to jump through, that's what separates out. That's why there's very little competition on these. So,
how often is it updated, Mike?
Our data feed is going to update us monthly on the vacant stuff, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Once a month we get the previous 30 days sent over.
Hey, Mike, I'm back.
Cool. You send that email?
Yeah, I sent them out, and I sent nine at a time, because if it's over 10, sometimes they'll block it. They'll put it in the spam folders. But yeah. So I sent a bunch of emails, and then I sent a couple to the two people that I, instead of calling them, I just said, you know, I know you're interested, so I sent emails to them too. So.
Sweet.
There you go.
When are you following up with phone call?
I don't have phone call. Any of those people with email, I don't have their email. I don't have phone calls. I don't have their phone numbers.
Try and find them.
I got them from Facebook, so I have their name and I got their email.
Oh, yeah, shoot them a private message.
Yeah.
Yeah, private message.
I'll do that tomorrow.
Hey, I just shot you an email. Call me at this number.
Right.
Did you say you were going to do that now or tomorrow?
You want me to do that now? I just sent it to you.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. I only talk like this because I ran acquisitions for Rob, and a deal got tied up, and he said, Mike, get on that phone until you have a buyer. That's our method. So, that's
what
I'm
saying. I mean, they're not even going to be able to see it tonight. How are they going to buy it?
Of course they will. Buyers looking for good deals, don't relax. They'll be up.
Flashlights in the windows and say that's good enough.
That's my advice. You're a big boy. You do with it what you want. That's my advice.
No, I'm just saying that's okay. No, I've been taking your advice, but it's like, really? Okay. I'll message them then.
Buyers are looking for deals. Especially in this market. This is a smoking deal.
And it's an appreciating area, too, so it helps.
Totally helps.
And Mike, this
is
Hal. Could I just add? I add to that. When I first got FreedomSoft, I was looking for houses, for deals.
Yep.
And so I was looking at you know, it doesn't always come up every 15 minutes. I mean, depends on if there's any leads in your campaigns. But I bought two houses within the first hour that they were listed.
Yep.
Because if it's a real super deal, they're going to be gone.
Absolutely.
And that's why, yeah, you're right. A guy that's looking for houses is going to be looking.
Yep.
Anyway.
I've gotten two emails asking about it already.
Bam.
You go, boy.
I'm telling you, man, you can move this thing before the call hangs up if you get on the phone.
What market is that you're working?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
I got his number. Woo-hoo. All right, I got to go.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Got to go.
Make
nice.
It happen.
Fire and
yeah.
All right, dude.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Where's Darren tonight?
I don't know. Being busy.
Is he working Pittsburgh also?
Yeah. Yep, that's where they
right?
have the, that's where they have the, yeah, flipping in Cleveland and wholesaling in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Yep.
That sounds kind of weird, flipping in Cleveland, doesn't it? From all everything I've heard.
That's a great, all the Ohio markets are good.
For everything, huh?
That, for real estate, they are, yeah. They're solid.
Hey, man, I just thought of something. I saw an article, and I meant to send you the link about the market rankings.
Yeah.
And I'll try to dig it up. I think I saved it, and I'll send it to you. But it's pretty cool. It'd be nice to share with everybody.
Yep.
Guess where the BHAM was?
Where?
Like 11th or 12th, right above Memphis. And
who ranked them, and what are they ranking?
They're ranking the rents and the vacancy rates and all that stuff.
Cool. Yeah, Rob ran he wrote a cool blog post a couple years back where that's been more than a couple years now when the last boom was taking place. And he was like, you know, Forbes comes out with their list and whatever, Wall Street Journal, top real estate markets, yada, 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 top 10. And so he went in and ran P ratios on all of them. And he basically wrote this blog post that said, I wouldn't buy in any of these, in any of them that were recommended. So it's kind of funny how, you know, mainstream media said, that's what I was asking you, what are they ranking? You know, it'd be interesting to run. And they may have, you know, they may have gotten some of them right, but he ran that a couple years ago, and I thought that was pretty interesting.
Wow.
You know, like you'd see something today, you know, Denver's booming, you know, buying Denver while you can. Well, you're late to the party if mainstream media is telling you to go there, just as a rule of thumb. So kind of interesting.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I wanted to give you an update to Olivia.
Yeah. I want to hear your update. What's going on?
If it's okay.
Absolutely.
I just got free to call to do this. But I wanted to get your advice.
Yep.
I talked to that guy. How do they say his name? Sharif. Talked to Sharif today.
Yep.
I confirmed the debt amount, $27,000.
Okay.
And
okay.
He was really firm. I felt a little silly talking to him. I said, I'd like to make you an offer because I don't want an offer until you know how much I owe. That's how it started. I said, well, I know how much you owe. It's $27,000.
Yeah.
I said, I'd like to offer you $20,000. This is a, he goes, no, absolutely not. You have to offer me what I owe plus.
You don't have to offer him anything.
Well, no, that's the whole thing. He said,
yeah.
No, I won't take any less. And I said, well, how much more do you want? And he wouldn't even give me any information about the house until I gave him a price. I said, can I ask you about the house? He goes, no, we figured this out. But anyway, he said he wanted $5,000 above and beyond getting him out of foreclosure. So that put it at $32,000. And I said, how about $30,000? He goes, so what are we doing here, you know, negotiating or bargaining? I said, okay. He said, okay, $31,000. All right. So in the meantime, Joe went by. Big Joe's, I guess, well-known, someone told me. And he said, that's just a piece of trash. I wouldn't pay more than $10,000 for it. So that was Joe's input. I called a realtor that I trust, I think, and she said, you know what? She goes, it's got to work for everybody. And she's going to go look at it for me. And
yeah.
She says, you know, that seems like, she goes, I said he wouldn't really budge at all. He goes, well, she goes, I can play hardball. I said, what I should have said, if someone was there, like talking to someone who's not in his position, like the lawyer, why didn't this guy just take anything and not be in foreclosure? Because he's got a bunch of other things that are, he's taxed, he's got penalties on.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, crazy. She goes, I can make that call.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, Jen, you know what, I'd like to, you know, I'd like to make some cash. I said, it doesn't have to be a whole lot, you know, and something like this. And I want it to work for everybody. So she's an investor and a realtor, and I've worked with her before. So she's willing to go look at it.
This is what you do.
Yeah,
Joe doesn't want it, great. Somebody else might.
Yeah.
So be
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yep.
Right. So anyway, I said she has first right.
And here,
she's helping me with all this stuff. Yeah.
Perfect. And here's the other thing. We got to get you in the middle of 3 or 4 more of these.
Yeah, oh,
right?
No,
so that.
I have another
so that's
one.
The key.
Yeah, I got another one too. So.
Okay. What does the other one look like?
The other one is a guy that has 2 properties he needs to sell because he needs money bad and he owes $120,000, which is what he wants to sell each of his homes for $60,000.
Okay.
One's got a renter and they want to stay and it's a 1-1. The other one has a person he's trying to evict with a dog. But the dog is so vicious that no one could go look at the property. So that doesn't interest me right now. I'd like to focus on the 1-1.
But a 1-1 for $60,000, what is it renting for?
About 900.
900 for a 1-1?
In that area.
Holy smokes. Yeah, I thought
you
were going to tell me $550.
I need to run the numbers again, but I will not pay him that much. I don't think it's worth that.
I wouldn't think so, but at at 900, it may be worth looking into. But yeah, it's all bait. You have to identify that anchor.
Right.
What are we anchoring off? And this is where you can throw it into that little spreadsheet I built. Right. He threw a price on the table, so you can use the second box down and say it's $60,000. What does this look like? But you've got to have an accurate rental number. So, show me.
What?
Send me the address and what you come up with for rents, so I can go double check it tomorrow. But yeah, let me know what you find.
So anyway, that's what I have.
Okay, let's get you in the middle of 5 more. How many skip trace leads do you have that you still have to call?
Oh, I have a lot.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I have a lot.
And this is really about. Here's the thing, Olivia. With that guy's pushing back. No, you have to offer me X amount with right.
Oh yeah, he's pushing back. Right.
Yeah, that's crazy. Here's the thing. Never be arrogant on the phone, but. You have posture in this deal. He's the one with the $27,000 tax foreclosure problem, right? You're trying to help.
Right.
So, we're always we always want to maintain that mindset. Obviously, you don't push back with a bunch of attitude. I'm not worried about you doing that anyway, but just to talk this situation through. But he's not holding a lot of cards in the situation.
No.
He's got a vacant house, which is cool, but you know how to find 1,000 others. Right?
Well, exactly. Right.
So, yeah. So that's the thing. We really want to help. That's the mindset. That's the attitude we always take. But at the same time, somebody like that starts to push back. Don't even hesitate to say, he says, you have to offer me more than, wait a minute. I'm trying to help you out. You have a $27,000 problem here. I don't have to offer you anything on this deal. Tell you what, and that's where you have to kind of, work through it, but don't be afraid to walk away. You know, one of the greatest sales techniques since mankind was invented, is take it away. Take it away. Just don't be afraid ever to posture up a little bit and say, I tell you what, good luck finding somebody else. I can't pay that much for it. I don't believe the house is worth for it, so. I was thinking I could help you out, but I don't think this is going to work. If your mind changes, let me know.
Well,
and
that's what
done.
I thought I should have done. Yeah. I thought I should have done that, Mike. That would have felt a lot better. But I wanted to have Jennifer look at it since she's an investor.
I don't think what you did was wrong. Because here's the thing. Joe told you that's way too much. But, Joe has paid more, which we know, in that neighborhood, right, first of all.
Right.
Right. So he could just be posturing with you, right, playing poker. That's way too much, seeing if you'll get the price down, and then he'll come in and say, yeah, I'll take it now. You just never know. But he's an experienced buyer, so I wouldn't put it past him, right? And you know, and then the other side of this is your numbers moving it at 35 are still decent.
They are.
So to get it for 30 or 31, if you can turn, you know, four on it or something like that, you may be able to go back to this guy and say, hey, here's what I found. You know, put the offer on the table. Even if they say no, that would be a scenario where you come back and say, you know what, you are 27. The most I can pay is 29. I've done my research. I'm going to pay 29. And he goes, I'm not going to take it. Well, you have his address, right?
Right.
So that's where you fill out a contract, mail it to him, put about a 72-hour date on it, put that piece of paper in front of him that basically solves his problem, see if he doesn't sign it. And if, you know, if he does, great, and if not, you move on.
Right.
Because this is why, right, the goal, you know, based on where you want to take your business, you've got to be in the middle of multiple deals because it takes takes the pressure off a situation like this where you can just say, tell you what, you know, at first I thought you were motivated. It doesn't sound like you are. There's no way I'm paying 35 for it. You know, I've got other deals to go work. So, and it just, it's not like the one on the table. So,
right,
yeah, good stuff.
Exactly.
This is killer because you're in the middle of a negotiation. You've got a seller that's a little bit challenging. Regardless of what happens with this deal, Olivia, you win because you're going to learn through it. You know, your skills are going to get better, your negotiation on the phone, your confidence grows. So regardless of outcome, this is a win. Clearly, we want the paycheck at the end of it, but it's a win either way.
Right. I got you.
So what I want you to do is you've got a gal going to look at it. Great. Until you hear back from her, focus on the other leads that you have. Let's get three more in play. Okay?
Yeah, I think I can. And I'll send you an email about that other one. And then we can verify the rent, and I can call them up to negotiate.
Absolutely. And this is a quick conversation. You wanted 60. I ran the numbers. Here's the highest I can go. Does that number work for you? Yes or no?
Amen.
If yes, great. If not, I appreciate it. If you change your mind, give me a call.
Because
it's really just about that, right? That's why one of the – hey, somebody has like a side conversation or something going on. Hit star 6 for us. And it's in Spanish. From what I can tell.
Yeah.
You know, put the offer on the table and move on. Because it's really that KPI of how many offers were made this week. That is the killer.
Well, you know what?
That's the number one stat.
And I had to work a little bit this week. But what I'm going to do, I said I need Saturday to tend to the home fires, and I need to follow up on all this stuff. So,
yep.
Yeah, Saturday's a good day for me to make a bunch of phone calls, too, if I miss out on the week. Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm willing to do that. No worries.
Good stuff.
Okay. All right. So I'll be in touch.
Yep. Olivia, keep us in the loop. As soon as questions come up, let us know, because this one is potentially live here in the near future.
Yeah.
Actually, two of these. Yeah, rental research. Do rental research on that 1-1 and then send over your analysis of it.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yeah, sounds good.
Good
stuff. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Who else? A 1-1. Man, if she has a 1-1 for 900, that's a hot little area. I'll be curious to see what that one looks like.
Come on.
Like savage?
No. Yeah.
Any other questions or updates? All right. I'll assume everybody's good.
And you?
Yeah, so let's keep your feet on the gas, right? A lot of good stuff happening. Any questions, get them immediately into the coaching center, all right, so we can get those answered. We want to create as little downtime as possible. So have a good afternoon/evening, everybody. And enjoy the eclipse on Monday. Next time we talk is post-eclipse. If you're driving a Mitsubishi Eclipse, congratulations. And we'll chat on Monday. If not before, then through the coaching email. All right?
Okay.
Thanks.
Take care, everybody. Chat soon. Yep. Take care.